What kind of fun is waiting for you at King's Island? The, holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The, make a splash all summer kind of fun. The, I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at King's Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun this season. King's Island is now open weekends.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, some of the fan hijinks. There's a Falcons fan looking very miserable there on Sunday, as was the case because the Lions handled the Falcons. There's a guy who is very intense, very into it, trying to take command.
What the hell is
banging on there? Trying to create some noise, anything you can to create noise. The best one of the day, though.
What is that?
Oh, the best one of the day. Hey, you!
Get out of here!
Oops, I don't there need goes my, teeth my partial plate.
You bum, I'm a bum, but you're a bum, okay?
Here, take these teeth and do something with them. I don't know what. Take you. He's trying to let an F-bomb fly at Zach Wilson. It was enough force for the teeth to fly out. All right, superlatives time for week three. Chris, what do you have?
What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me.
Is that the song for the dumb?
No more. That's exactly what it is. Exactly. The old Saturday Live skit there, right? How can we not talk about that a little bit? And Jordan Love, them being down 17-0, not looking good on the offensive side of the ball, really through three quarters. You're just going, damn, they can't get anything going. They're missing Christian Watson. They're missing Aaron Jones, right? So those are issues. Guys, I don't know why we're showing this. This is the Atlanta Falcons game from last week. Let's go to the game that they played yesterday. That was a clutch moment for Jordan Love. I mean, end of the football game, they got three chances to get the ball. They're going to have to score on all three chances to maybe win the game, tie it, whatever else. Get the field goal, come back, throws a touchdown. Gets the ball again, rushes for a touchdown, and wins his first game as a starting quarterback at home in Lambeau, where it looked dire there. I got to give him a lot of credit. That really was just, you know, mentally tough and way to suck it up for him.
Oh, unbelievable. And it was great. Peter King and I talked to him for a few minutes after the game. He didn't have much time because they got the short week. They got the Lions on Thursday night. Great Thursday night game coming.
Right.
But I asked him how much he hears and how much he's motivated by the haters. And he started with an answer that was cliche, 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 but he kind of got cranked up at the end. And he said, who are they to know whether or not I can play? Like, screw them, basically. Yeah. He didn't say that, but that was the attitude. Who are they to judge me? I'm my own person. I'm going to go out and do my own thing, and he's been great so far. All right, my first superlative is process this. Because remember all the talk about process, S2 test, C.J. Stroud, horrible. Can't process. Somebody was trying their damnedest to get C.J. Stroud to slip past the Texans. Somebody was trying to make the Texans wobbly and not take C.J. Stroud. And C.J. Stroud so far has been pretty damn good. Mm-hmm. First quarterback in league history to have at least 900 passing yards, 4 passing touchdowns, and no interceptions in his first 3 starts. He's thrown the most passes to begin a career without an interception at 121. Oh, and they beat the shit out of the Jaguars on Sunday to shock everyone, most notably the Jaguars. So they got something in C.J. Stroud to the point where if I'm David Tepper, the Panthers owner this morning, I'm thinking, how did this happen?
Yeah.
That I fell in love with Bryce Young when C.J. Stroud was right there. Maybe they listened to the process this and process that and S2
stuff. I don't
think
there's any doubt. That's all they ever sold on.
About.
Yeah.
Cause
all they ever heard from
the moment the Texans did not hesitate to take him, I thought somebody was hoping that Cal McNair, because the target really isn't the GM. You want the owner, the one who's got the ultimate say to get nervous.
Right.
They were trying to make Cal McNair skittish about C.J. Stroud, and to the organization's credit, they didn't take the cheese, and so far, so good. And look, long way to go, but he's been the best of the three guys taken in the top four, in large part because Bryce Young and Anthony Richardson both didn't play Sunday due to injuries.
Sure. I mean, listen, Anthony Richardson, of course, we know how talented he is. He's going to have something to say about this. Bryce Young, yeah, I got to see more. It's not great so far, right? It doesn't look like number one pick of the draft, but that's for sure. C.J. Stroud, kind of what I was saying in the draft process. It's kind of he's a little bit of a throwback. He can move a little bit, yeah, but he's going to stay in the pocket, and he's going to dice you up from there, and you just see. Just like you saw at Ohio State, it's one good decision and one good throw after another. I mean, he never loses control of the ball, whether he tries to put a little extra oomph on it or whatever. And then, of course, he's got touch. He could throw the deep ball. And he's not a rush watcher. He stands in the pocket and still keeps his eyes down the field and kind of uses his feel to slide around there. Really impressive so far by Stroud. And on top of that, the Jags, just their offense being off kilter, right? Some of the mistakes they made yesterday. They miss a field goal. They block a field. The Jags had a field goal block. The Texans have a fullback return, a kick return for a touchdown, right? Jaguars just a little all over the place right now, but good for the Texans, D'Amico Ryan getting their first win because Stroud was awesome.
All right, give me another superlative, Christopher.
Roar!
Christopher David.
I
learned on Saturday night that your mom and your aunt love it when I call you Christopher David.
But usually that's
when you're in trouble.
They like to call me Christopher David, so that's how that works there. And people close to me definitely do call me Christopher, so you're allowed to do that. But that was my superlative right there. Roar! Okay? And that's a lion if you wanted to know.
They're trying to figure out how to spell that. R-A-W-R. I guess that's close enough.
Try to figure it out, okay? But, yeah, the Detroit Lions, the one thing that drives me crazy about them a little bit is, and I think I said this when we picked the game last week, it just feels like every game is kind of a coin flip. It's like, are they going to make it on those two fourth downs they're going to go for? And if they do, they'll win the game. But if they don't, they'll lose the football game. Now, this was a game that was, like, kind of dominant throughout. And I keep kind of waiting for Jared Goff to, like, sometimes go back to what he looked like early days with the Lions or at the end with the Rams and think, oh, this is going to end. But he continues just to answer the bell and make big throw after big throw, week after week.
That wall is higher than I think
he realized.
He
definitely is white man can't jump. He proved that. I mean, that was a 4-inch vertical. Look, now he can't even pull himself up.
Now he's trying to pull himself up on the ladder.
Damn, you don't have any muscles to pull up either, so it's not good. But he has been great. And what I think the defense, that was the encouraging thing. We knew Atlanta was going to come in, try to run the football, and they stopped that. And they put the game on Desmond Ridder's shoulders. And as we're seeing here, for this 3 weeks in a row where, man, the Falcons' pass game is shaky. And I know they got Pitts and Drake London, but they're big guys who don't separate. You know, they're kind of the guys, that, yeah, if they're covered, you could throw it to them, but they're not going to separate. And, man, the Falcons, the passing game definitely worrying me a little bit as the season goes along here.
We got to give some love to the Buffalo Bills. Their defense was incredible.
Yes,
it was amazing. And, you know, I know that anytime you have to explain a joke, it makes it inherently unfunny. But I think Sam Howell looks like John Belushi. I don't know how many people agree with me, but he does. And for some reason, we used the clip at some point in the past several weeks of that boy is a P.I.G. from Animal House when he had the tray with all the food on it. So after Sam Howell got to 4 interceptions yesterday, I thought that boy is an INT.
Yeah.
And look, it's not just him. It's the Bills defense. The Bills defense was great yesterday. And Sam Howell had been pretty good through the first two games. And they were 2-0. And this was one of those where, and I'm going to do the mini victory lap. It's like, okay, time for connective tissue. Commanders had to screw around with the Cardinals. Commanders had to screw around with the Broncos. Bills look pretty damn good against the Raiders. Ipso facto, Bills are going to kick the crap out of the Commanders. I didn't see that defensive performance coming, but that's what fueled the win over the Raiders. That defense wakes up. All of a sudden, it's
no
less
doubt.
Pressure on Josh Allen,
yeah.
Less pressure on the offense,
right.
And you have balance, and you have a team that can't wait. Can't wait for week four, Dolphins at the Buffalo Bills to see who takes early supremacy.
That was a butt whooping.
AFC East. But the Commanders, yes, not their day against the Buffalo Bills.
Howell in both games could have thrown more interceptions than what he did. He's gotten a little lucky. Now, the thing that's awesome about it, he's aggressive and he's looking to make plays and do all that. But, yeah, yesterday it came back to bite him in the butt. And then, of course, like you said, Allen and the Bills, you know, they got it going on the offensive side of the ball. He's certainly honed in after the bad week one. They ran the ball again yesterday. James Cook looked really good. And, you know, we're still going to sit here and go, I wish there was more, you know, other options in the pass game. But yesterday, at least it was the run game along with Diggs and Allen. And then the defense, like you said, causing the turnovers. That was just like, you know, slow death for Washington yesterday, and Josh Allen was awesome.
When we return, the Vikings out-chargered the Chargers on Sunday. The breakdown of one of the
only
most exciting games of the day. Only the Vikings could pull that off. We'll do that next year on PFT Live.
Kirk, shotgun, back to pass, throws to the end zone, ball's bouncing about, intercepted by the Chargers, and the Minnesota Vikings are 0-3.
Are you kidding me?
The ball bounced off a Viking, then a Charger, I believe, and was intercepted by a member of the Chargers.
LA Chargers pulling off the victory after a controversial decision by their head coach to go for it on 4th-and-1. What else is new? They slammed the door on the Vikings with a turnover from Minnesota. What else is new?
Damn,
before that last play, though, but you know what?
Yeah.
This Kirk Cousins, Kevin O'Connell marriage is headed for Splitsville.
You think so?
They just don't. It's dysfunctional. It's becoming more dysfunctional, and losses will make it more dysfunctional. And
why do you say that? Let me hear.
Well, yeah. Like, from the quarterback series, remember after Kirk went freelance and
yeah.
called the quarterback sneak in Buffalo.
Right.
And Kevin O'Connell said to him afterward, I could have gotten you in a better formation. Like, you know, now I think, yeah, like anything else, when someone gets in trouble for doing something that the boss says maybe you shouldn't have done, sometimes you get the passive aggressive blowback where then all of a sudden it's like, hey, I'm not doing anything without permission. Like, Kirk didn't realize yesterday after they got the first down with the running clock to get up to the line and spike the ball. He couldn't hear Kevin O'Connell over the crowd noise, and they were kind of like paralyzed, and it's tick, 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 tick.
Yeah.
They should have been able to spike it and have three shots at the end zone with calm and the ability to pick a play and move forward. That's what should have been done, and that should have been the plan before you get in that moment. You got to be thinking a step ahead. I don't want to blame it all on Kirk, but at some point, you're in year 11 in the National Football League. At some point, you recognize in a situation like that, the only thing you can do is run up to the line of scrimmage, spike the ball, and give yourself three shots at the end zone. They were so rushed, they were only going to get two shots, and that first shot was so hair on fire, frenetic, it was destined to end in tragedy. It never felt like there was a clean look, a clean chance to do anything. And so there's this idea that Kirk couldn't hear O'Connell. At some point, you got to take charge,
well,
Kirk.
You just would know.
You got to take charge.
Yeah.
You've been playing in the NFL for 12 years. I don't care about your stats. I don't care about anything but delivering in the clutch, winning games that you shouldn't win. And I know last year they won a bunch of games they shouldn't have won. And what happens is when you start doing that early, it creates a feeling among everyone in the organization. You're going to find a way. You're going to find a way. So the flip side is true this year. It's always something. It's always something. They have taken the Rosanna Dana mantle away from the Chargers. This year the Vikings are the it's always something team. And every week it's going to be a fumble. It's going to be this. It's going to be that. But how many times have we seen that where the guy just goes up, You know to go up and spike it. You don't need a hall pass from your head coach to go spike the damn ball. You don't need to hear your coach to know, just go spike the ball and you get three plays. You're not going to get in trouble for doing that.
No, I mean, that's definitely weird. And so they get the fourth down conversion, right? There was 41 seconds left. Then they don't snap the next ball until I think it was 11 seconds.
It was ridiculous.
You're right. It was ridiculous. And what I want to say is, what the F does the quarterback to coach communication? You know how I knew how to spike the ball every time in my whole career? I looked over the sideline. The coach was going like this.
Yeah.
Right? I didn't need to go, wait, are you telling me spike or no spike? I don't know what that means. Can you talk into my ear? So, yeah, there's no – that was odd altogether, that much time –
37 seconds when the play ended.
Right.
On the 4th and 5, right?
So 26 seconds later.
26 seconds later, they snapped the ball.
Right.
That is inexcusable.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
That is inexcusable.
You're right. That was going to cost them probably one more shot at the end zone.
You're going to spike it, you're going to get your three shots.
Right.
You're not getting four.
So
you're not getting four with the running clock and no timeouts.
Right.
And the ball – yeah, you just saved your ass with 4th and 5.
Yeah.
Go up and spike. How do you not – like –
kind of know that going into the fourth down, usually.
Right. And even if you're not actively thinking of it, you've been playing football all your life. I assume he's played Madden from time to time. I mean, he doesn't work on Tuesdays. He probably plays Madden at some point. I'm never letting that go. I'm sorry.
Apparently.
Look, this is so weird to me. I can't remember in 50 years of being an NFL fan, a quarterback who had so many of the gifts that you need. But then there were just these glaring, weird things that kept him from becoming as good as he could be that aren't that difficult. You know, every once in a while you encounter someone in life who is very good at the hard parts of their job and they keep tripping over their own two feet at the easy stuff.
Yeah, right.
Kirk is kind of like that. He's really good at the hard stuff that comes up in run-of-the-mill moments. He can do the hard things under no pressure whatsoever. But you throw in some pressure – and he can't walk in a straight line without tripping and falling. It's just such a weird dynamic, and I think the Vikings are done with it. Yeah. I think they were done with it going into the season, and whether it's becoming a self-fulfilling prophecy or not, they're going to be done with him, and they're going to move on and try to find somebody else. And maybe they won't find somebody as good as he is. I don't know. But they're at the point where they recognize they need somebody different.
It does seem like we're going that way. I understand your frustration like I do. I will say, again, Kirk Cousins played awesome yesterday. You know, it's
– but they lost.
You're right.
I saw that after the Eagles game, all these great stats. And if they were doing it yesterday on the pregame shows, Kirk Cousins, historic. Justin Jefferson, historic. They're 0-2. Nobody gives a shit if it's historic. Well, they're 0-2, and now they're 0-3. Well, that's all that matters.
Where I just want you to be careful a little bit, with the blame game, is I just would say it's not all Kirk Cousins here. It's not. Now, listen, I wish the end of the game was better, too. And there's some things about him, like you, that I just go, what? I don't understand that, right? But at the same time, too, he was under pressure the whole game yesterday.
Yes.
The Eagles game was, still under pressure. And your Vikings players just dropping the ball everywhere as far as fumbles.
Yes.
You saw Hockenson fumble as you guys were going down.
Ripped out. Right? First drive.
Everything's going good. You're going right down the field, and you're going, here they go.
And I love T.J. Hockenson.
That's a coaching thing, though.
10 days of harping on ball security, and the ball gets ripped out.
On the first drive.
Yes.
I know. That was kind of like,
damn. The defense is, look, we love Brian Flores, but I asked Keenan Allen about this yesterday. Like, they don't make many changes, and they figure out what they're doing. And they knew that they're running a certain scheme yesterday, a lot of pressure, and they never pivot to anything else. I mean, at some point, you got to do the rope-a-dope because they know what you're doing. And the Chargers, as the game went on, it was not high scoring from the get-go. As the game went on, the Chargers' offense got better because they figured out what the Vikings were doing.
They did.
And then the Vikings don't pivot to something else. And maybe Brian Flores is doing all he can to whip up the best possible batch of chicken salad.
Right.
But you got to be able to pivot to something else once they start to figure out what you're doing.
Yeah, I think that would be the thing I would look at, though, just because, watching them the first 2 weeks of them, they're a little handcuffed with how much they can do on defense because they're just not that talented. And yesterday it got into, wait, now our pass rush can't even do anything because the Chargers do protect well, and now you don't have a really talented secondary. And I think there's, we got to be careful and protect these guys or we'll get gashed everywhere. And then that just leads to 15 yards, 10 yards, shoom, shoom. I mean, 40 for 47 for 405. I mean, that's insane to be that efficient with that many passing yards and that many passing attempts, right?
Franchise record catches for Keenan Allen. Personal high of 216 yards, and he threw a touchdown pass.
Right?
I think what he called, he told me what it's called, the Keenan special or something like that. It was in the game plan 2 weeks ago against the Titans, and they didn't use it.
Yeah.
But you know what he told me? When the guy's wide open,
just throw it at him.
That changes everything. Yeah. When he's wide open, it's like, uh-oh. Because you can see it's a little behind him. But
yeah, you just want to complete it at that point.
Yeah.
You know? I saw Jordan Love miss some throws yesterday with guys wide open where you go, stop being trying to be so perfect. You hit him on the dead run, so it's like this most unreal throw. Just get the completion. You know, it is tough. I can remember some throws I had in my career where guys are wide open and you're going, like, you're like, holy cow, he's open. And my approach was always to throw a rocket just right at their head, right? Just there's going to be no room for error there. I'm just going to throw it right at them as hard as I can. And, yeah, they might have to stop a little bit or whatever, but it's going to be complete and we'll go from there. But, yeah, that was a good gutsy play call by the Chargers and Kellen Moore there. And their offense was pretty phenomenal. But then we get to the end of the football game.
We got to take a break. So let's do this.
Okay.
And I got to say two things. One, speaking of rockets to the head, and this is a footnote to the game at best.
Yeah.
Justin Herbert threw a freaking piss missile at Donald Parham from 5 yards
away. He caught it in self-defense.
God. And I can't believe he caught it. I mean, that thing was a rocket, and it was like not quite me to you, but it was pretty damn close.
It was fourth down, right? That was a fourth down play, right?
Yeah, right. And second, speaking of fourth down plays, that fourth and one, maybe we'll find some time tomorrow to really delve into what went right with the Chargers, what went wrong with the Chargers. They've done this a couple of times and still won the game.
Yeah.
But we got to go. We got to move on to something else.
All right, fine.
But yet again, Brandon Staley making a key fourth down decision.
I just didn't like the call. That's all I'll say. I didn't like the call. You haven't run the ball all game, and then you give it to Johnny. We don't know who the hell you are up the middle.
I laughed in the studio last night when you said that. I'm over here. And, you know, we're trying to be really quiet in the studio. And they give the ball to somebody that no one knows who he is. Well, since we're there, and I'm sorry to the control room, let's go ahead and talk about it real quick.
Okay.
Because Keenan Allen told me this after the game.
Yeah.
They wanted Justin Herbert to do a quarterback sneak.
Yeah.
And then he ultimately supported it because they had the gaps kind of filled up. I said, but what about what the Eagles do? And he said, you know, I thought of that right afterward. It's like, damn, we got to put that play in.
Definitely.
Why don't more teams do that? You got a big quarterback.
Right.
Put a couple of big guys back there and just shove Justin Herbert that extra yard. Why aren't they doing that instead of this?
I don't know either. I don't. Exactly right. And giving it to a guy who hasn't touched the ball or has no feel for the moment right there, it's a lot to put on him. And, yeah, I know I'm having fun. It's nothing disrespectful to that fullback. But, they couldn't run the ball, you know, with their running backs. What was going to make you think, okay, now we're going to blow them off, you know, and get the first down here with the fullback? I didn't love that call, but, you know, thank God for Brandon Staley. The defense made the play and got the interception at the end of the game.
Puts a lot of pressure on the defense, but the defense came through in part because, and I don't think he figured this into his overall analysis. I don't think you bank on the Vikings offense, you know, peeing down their leg and letting 26 seconds elapse from the clock and then having a rushed play that gets tipped and intercepted, but that's it. The Chargers get their first win. The Vikings are 0-3. The Vikings had the Panthers.
The Vikings out-chargered the Chargers.
If the Vikings lose to the Panthers this week, it's over, because then the Chiefs come to town the following weekend. Speaking of the Chiefs, we got some injury updates as it relates to the Chiefs quarterback, who looked like he was injured but is not, plus some other news regarding the health of quarterbacks when PFT Live continues right after this.
I won't let my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. In two clinical studies, Tremfya guselkumab, taken by injection, provided 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks in 7 out of 10 adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. In a study, nearly 7 out of 10 patients with 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks were still clearer at 5 years. At 1 year and thereafter, patients and healthcare providers knew that Tremfya was being used. This may have increased results. Results may vary.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
We held our breath. Our hearts stopped this moment yesterday in the second quarter, late. There's Patrick Mahomes hobbling around, kind of reminding me of Aaron Rodgers 2 weeks ago. Like, is he in denial? Is he trying to walk it off? Is he thinking, no, this can't be, this can't be? Look at where he gets hit. Lower ankle like that twist. How can you not think Achilles tendon after it just happened to Aaron Rodgers? And then he kept walking, and it's like, hey, he's fine. Yeah. He's fine. He came back and played in the second half. Threw a touchdown pass to Travis Kelce, 41-0, took him out of the game, not because of the injury. There is no injury. He's fine.
Yeah.
All indications, he's fine. We'll see him on Sunday night.
Thank God.
It won't be Blaine Gabbert against Zach Wilson.
Thank
It'll
God.
Be Patrick Mahomes against Zach
I'll
Wilson.
I'll say it again. Thank God. that was a hold-your-breath moment, right? And it was the same ankle he hurt last year. It's that right ankle. So, as a player, I'm sitting there going, damn, I bet you that high ankle sprain he got last year in the divisional playoff game, he probably still feels that to a degree. So to have that happen a little bit, definitely scared me. But, man, the Chiefs looked good yesterday.
But something I said last night
when
we were talking about the aftermath of this could be, and I don't know, but when you roll out of bed the next day, is this one of those things where maybe, possibly,
it'll be a little more sore than he thinks it is.
Yeah. And he looks down and
it is swollen.
He's starting to get a little blue and purple.
He's going to get treatment today, I would imagine. At least icing it and getting some of that swelling out of there. But the good thing is, we always see, right, as compared to that playoff game where it bent outwards, going inwards is more your traditional one. And definitely a little easier to deal with as an athlete. Thanks. I mean, listen, we want him playing. And that was the first time all year the Chiefs offense looked like the Chiefs offense.
Yeah.
They've been a defensive football team through 2 weeks. And, of course, we're awesome again for the third week in a row on the defensive side of the ball.
Helps to be playing the Bears.
Oh, the Bears looked like a team that had a really dysfunctional week. It showed on the field, and they're in big trouble. But, Mahomes was sharp.
Great perspective from Coach Garrett last night. The Chiefs rolled up 41 points, and they were still 29 shy of what the Dolphins did to the Broncos.
Seriously, right.
Because 41 is like, hey, that's a lot of points.
Yeah.
You're still 29 away from doing what the Dolphins did to Denver. Saints quarterback Derek Carr hit the unfrozen tundra at Lambeau Field pretty hard.
Tundra's never frozen there. They got heaters under there.
That's right. What about December and January? It's heated. It doesn't matter. It's grass and it's soft. But he got injured. I'm told he probably avoided disaster. It is a shoulder injury. He's expected to miss some time. They took him to a hospital to get checked out. There are no internal injuries, but he does have an injury. But it could have been worse. And I got to say this.
Yeah.
It would have been worse if it was on turf. Because it's
harder. You don't
have
to tell me.
His camp is grateful for the fact that that was on grass and not a home game where you're going to hit that turf harder. And I know we need to take a break, but I just need to make this point. And I love Peter King. But here's something from his column today. The things I think that I think.
Right.
I think I found this interesting. One, noise made about how bad artificial turf is after Aaron Rodgers tore his Achilles on a contact injury on artificial turf on Monday Night Football in week 1. Ear-splitting, endless. 2, noise made about natural grass after Nick Chubb tore knee ligaments on a contact injury on natural grass on Monday Night Football. And
has nothing to do with anything. Peter's way off base here.
Please. That's not helpful
ridiculous.
To what the players
ridiculous,
want.
Right. It's just coding the NFL line
the
there, Peter.
The foot was in the ground.
If he was on any surface,
matter.
His knee was going to get hurt.
His knee was going to get blown out wherever he was. And Peter, again, I love you, but don't feed into the NFL's BS propaganda. And Peter isn't that way.
No,
Peter is not that way. That's why it stood out to me.
Yeah.
It's not about turf or grass for the Nick Chubb injury. That has nothing to do with it.
No.
If anything, he at least had maybe a little chance the foot was going to come
unstuck. Probably would have been worse.
It ain't coming unstuck.
He only tore his MCL. I bet you it'd have been more
if
it wasn't. So
maybe that if it gave it where it would have just not moved at all. Anyway,
I got
Peter,
people texting me last night that were kind of annoyed with what you said too about the turf thing. And again, it's a bunch of people where I'm going to go, you're not paying attention to the NFL. No coach or player wants to play on field turf artificial surface.
Cars camp
Nobody
is happy
it.
That he landed on grass.
Nobody.
And not that. That cement covered by fake plastic, what is it called? Blades.
Yeah.
And toxic.
No, nobody
torn up
wants to play on the
pellets.
artificial surface. And I, you know.
Find me a current player.
Right.
One current player.
No, we haven't found one yet. And we continue to kind of say that. And I pay attention to everybody's saying all week long. And yeah, even in December, people would rather play on that Green Bay grass than artificial turf somewhere else. It's undefeated. And as I'll say again, I was never on a team with any player ever that was like, I want to play on the fake stuff. No, never. So it's a bunch of people who don't play the game who are trying to say
they
this wanna, and cram this down
wanna,
our
they
throat.
They want to create a false debate. They want to create a false debate.
Right.
Peter's comment feeds into the false debate. And Peter, we love you, but there is no debate on this. There is no debate.
No,
the
definitely.
Players want grass.
Right.
High quality grass, not shit grass.
Right.
High quality grass.
Right.
All right.
Yep.
Let's take a break. More PFT Live right after this.
Not skirmish, but after the play, you pushed Mac Jones over. He might have done something. Did he do something here that you below the belt?
Man, that's probably the first time that ever happened to me. So, I got tackled. He reached his hand up to try to, like, give me the help of work, and I just, like, moved his hand out the way. So then he get up, he just come up to me like, good job. But while he's saying that, he hit me in my private part. You know what I mean?
Man.
Dude got ice up. He's trying to stop me from having kids in the future. He tripping.
Sauce Gardner. Sauce got hit in the meat yesterday. Here's the play. It's not a great angle, but you see something go on. Watch. Now look. Mac gets it all kind of.
I guess here it is. Here's Sauce.
Yeah,
right
here it is. It's at the end of some stuff, and you can see Mac. And you say, there it is. I mean, what's Sauce reacting to?
Yeah.
He's reacting to something.
Oh, and Mac knows. Look, he's not even talking. He knows he just did something.
This is not the first time that Mac has pulled some of this punk-ass stuff.
That's what it is. It's punk-ass stuff. Exactly right.
At what point is he going to be held accountable
for it? It's spoiled bratish. I don't
even
know
what it is. Somebody needs to go punch him in the face. I'm sorry, Mac, but someone needs to go punch him in the face. Not me.
Yeah.
Chris, you're bigger. You go punch. Just drive up there today and go punch him in the face. I mean, but what is this stuff? Why doesn't anybody call him out and say, stop it. Quit acting like a punk.
I would think somebody on that locker room is going to say something, but yeah, it's not a good look for him right now. Whether it's the Brian Burns tripping him and sticking his cleat up there, 2 years ago, the interception there last year that was being returned for a touchdown by the Bengals, and then he went low at Eli Apple 30 yards away from the play. Right, there's another play I'm missing too. I feel like added on to this, but yeah, it's got shades of Grayson Allen and Duke, and like I'm a baby brat, and I can't believe this is happening, so I'm gonna take a cheap shot, and that's just not cool. And that right there is like a no-no on the NFL field. I mean, come on, it's a no-no anywhere, let alone like on the football field, and you deserve to be thrown to the ground like that.
The NFL is looking into the situation. Now, it's standard practice that they look at all plays from the prior Sunday, but this is one they are going to look into. And all we've seen is the TV angle. There's cameras all over the place.
Yeah.
Maybe
coaches
film
might show it.
Maybe there's
from
something
that back angle.
But you can see something happens as Mac Jones passes Sauce Gardner to get Sauce to react.
Yeah.
And I take Sauce's word for it that he got clipped in the McNuggets by Mac. McCorkle hit him in the McNuggets.
He did. He definitely hit him in the McNuggets.
And it's just uncalled for. It really is. It's different than it was in the 70s when Conrad Dobler was stomping on people's heads. There's this greater sense of brotherhood among NFL players. There's a health and safety sensitivity. They're all in this together. It's just bullshit.
Yeah, that's amateur hour.
That's bullshit.
The kind of crap that goes on in a high school game every now and then or something like that.
It's bullshit. We're going to take a break. More PFT Live right after this. Tonight, they're coming tonight. Two games. Hot damn tonight. Eagles at the Bucks. Rams at the Bengals.
Florida doesn't like two.
Why? I mean, why? Don't. ESPN, ABC, put the two games on the separate channels. We all have access to multiple screens. You don't need to split screen. You don't need to do it. Let us watch one game. Let us watch the other game. Both at the same time if we want, or one after the other. You don't need to keep talking. It drives me crazy. It drives me crazy.
Yes.
There's somebody out there that would like to watch all of one game and then watch all of the other game, and it's going to be ruined because they keep cutting in with stuff.
Yeah,
from
we
the
don't
other
need
game.
The live look in, but I'll take two games, though. I'm kind of getting used
back
to it.
Back to back. I want them back to back.
I know. It would be nicer that way.
Monday, Tuesday.
Yeah, I would like that, too. That would be great. But, you know,
I don't understand.
It is good sitting on the couch at 7 o'clock having a game. It is fun that way. I like the Eagles, of course. You know, but I don't know if it's going to be easy. I think the Bucs defense is pretty damn good, and I don't think the Eagles are just going to be able to run up and down the field on this Bucs D. So I like the Eagles in that one, and then I like the Bengals to get back on track here and win a close one, but it ain't going to be easy, and Joe Burrow's health is going to be the big question.
Bengals have four quarterbacks currently, two on the active roster, two in the practice squad. They added Reed Sinnott and A.J. McCarron, and Jay Glazer said yesterday that Burrow's calf has gotten a lot better. It's still hurt. And there were some comments from Jamar Chase from Friday. He's like, I've been telling him,
don't play
until you're 100%.
Right.
Don't play. I don't know what he's going to try to do tonight. Glazer said it's going right up to game time. But until he rests, there's going to be the potential that he's going to keep getting aggravated.
Yeah.
Or it could get even worse. And at some point, they're going to have to shut him down. There's some stubbornness going on here. I was thinking they should just put him on IR, miss four games, 5 weeks after that, come back. And
he wants to play. It's a big game.
Wants to earn his money.
And it's Raheem Morris and McVay coming to town.
Here comes Aaron Donald. You better duck. Yep. See you tomorrow.
See ya.
He's swinging helmets.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.